time now for Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Join us. Just a cursory view of our culture is all it takes to show that we really are in a sea of chaos. Now, the only answer can be found in the solid, strong word of truth, the Word of God. Hello, and welcome to this edition of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon, our pastor here at United Reformed Church in Linden. Let's head now to the Word of God that we might find comfort and strength and solace in time of need. Once again, here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
In Psalm 16, David gives us a beautiful prayer. He breathes forth this beautiful prayer in the midst of some great tragedy that he had faced. And he says in verse 1, "Preserve me, O God, for in you I put my trust. O my soul, you have said to the Lord, you are my Lord. My goodness is nothing apart from you. As for the saints who are on the earth, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight." And then yesterday we looked at this great contrast he made at this point. Their sorrows shall be multiplied who hasten after another God. Their drink offerings of blood I will not offer, nor take up their names on my lips. David really began to contrast and ask this question, who really is happy in this life? And he looked at the wicked and he looked at all of those pursuing what this world has to offer. And he asked the question, are they really happy? Of course they're not happy. Their sorrows are multiplied, if not now, in eternity, in judgment. And so David asked this question. He looked at, look, they have no happiness in life or in death. And people are on this great search for happiness. And so in the midst of his great tragedy, in the midst of what he's facing, he begins to become another man as he reflects upon the real truth. And that's what the Psalms do for us. They really take us to ask, what is the real truth about life? And so at this point in the Psalm, he breaks into the reality for the children of God. He breaks into the true realities presently in life and in death for the Christian. And so with the greatest affliction tormenting him, in which he has to cry out, "O Lord, preserve me, hold me," it's as if he begins to see clearly. He realizes that God never calls us to numb the affliction. People numb it today with medications and doing all sorts of things to sort of remove themselves from it. No, David had to go through the trial. And so he not only calls us to go through the trial, but to see what is the true reality and what the promises are in the midst of it. And it's as if at this point the clouds that have surrounded him, though not cleared, have rays of light shining through them. It's as if he begins to see the whole picture as it really is for the child of God. There is true happiness, not only in this life, but also in death. And that happiness is even there through the affliction. Notice he stresses this in verse 5, that there is in life a peace that surpasses all understanding. Listen to Psalm 16, verse 5. "O Lord, you are the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You maintain my lot. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a good inheritance." So he had started his prayer, "Preserve me, O God." And before the prayer is even over, the Lord has answered. And we're reminded of the words of Philippians, "Be anxious for nothing." So in other words, there's nothing in life so hard for the Christian to face that it should control or overwhelm them. Nothing. Why? Because you serve a God who is sovereign and in control of your circumstances and trials. And so be anxious for nothing, but in everything, in prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. And what's going to happen? Well, remember this well. When we are anxious about certain things, the heart and the mind are under attack. There is no peace. There is no sleep. There is no comfort, only stress and only anxiety, only questions of what if. And we are told here there is an answer. Cry out to the Lord and he will do what? He will guard. He will set a garrison around your heart and your mind so that you can have the right perspective, so that you can see the true reality. And we've seen today what this prayer looks like. The anxious David, over his trial, has come to the throne room of grace. He has set his appeal before his beloved. "Preserve me, O God, Elohim. Preserve me, O strong one, for in you I put my trust. You are my Lord. You are Jehovah. my Jehovah. And then he goes on to say, you are my Adonai, the one who can bring me through this. You are in control. And all of a sudden, the prayer is being answered. His heart and his mind is surrounded with the mind of Christ. And what does he come to see? He begins to see all of these benefits. You are the portion of my inheritance in my cup. You, O Lord, have literally assigned for me the needs of this life. My food, you have even rationed this out to me. And my cup, well, Psalm 23 says, it runs over, I am full. You have maintained my lot. What this means is that nothing has come down my path that is not designed by you for me. The encounters of life, the events of life, the circumstances of life, the tragedies of life, the trials of life, all of these things are maintained and designed by you for me, O Lord. And that means my lot is secure. My life is in your hand. You are my defender through it all. And if this is all true, which it is, why then am I downcast, O my soul? Why am I so disquieted within me? Put your hope in God, for you are my strength. That is Psalm 42. So this design is perfect, and for the revelation of your glory, this trial that you have designed, only preserve me, O Lord. Preserve me is his cry. Do you hear his prayer? He goes on, the lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. The hard part with that one, my friends, is how can he say that in light of the tragedy? Have the lines really come to him in pleasant places if he has to endure what he's going through? How the peace that surpasses all understanding is set before us today, because it cannot be explained in human terms. It cannot be figured out by Dr. Phil's suggestions or techniques. Oprah doesn't have the answers. Only the Lord can give the peace that surpasses understanding, human understanding. How can he have any peace through this particular tragedy that is so deep and caused so much affliction that has shaken up his whole life? He says, yes, there is a way. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. What a change from the beginning of his prayer. Preserve me, O God, to I am content. I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. The reality is that what, says David, I have a good inheritance. This world is not my inheritance. There is something more. Sure, if this were everything, I would go forth in no hope. But there is something bigger. There is something bigger at work here in the days of my pilgrimage under the sun. It's a beautiful thing, my friends, what happens in this psalm at this point. His peace is turned into joy. A joy of knowing that he has that which is most important in this life. A joy of knowing God. Verse 7, I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My heart also instructs me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. What is the reality? The Lord counsels me. You know, when there are great tragedies in people's lives, we who stand on the outside just don't know what to say. You ever been in that situation where somebody's going through something and it's so incredibly difficult, you have no words. You don't know what to say. And really the truth is that often it's just best to remain silent. Job had all of this counsel from his friends at his trial when he had lost everything, his children, his riches, even his own health. And his friends were saying ridiculous things. You're sinning, you're being chastised, and it tormented him, didn't it? We need to remember this. We need to remember what David's perspective was. It comes with the question, where does our help come from? And the multitude of all of these people who think they have answers? No. Our help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Our good shepherd is the only true counselor to our souls. How we need his counsel. And David realizes here that the Lord's counseling of him all of his life had prepared him for this moment. And now as he is, in the heart of his affliction, it is the Lord's counsel that brings peaceful joy to his weary soul. It's only the word of the Lord that comforts. He says, my heart, literally, my kidneys instruct me in the night seasons. All that you have imprinted in my inward parts through my life has now come alive. All of your promises, all of your words of grace, O Lord, all of your comforts to me are instructing me at this hour. Your word has become the balm for my soul as I rise in the night and I soak my bed with tears. I bless your name because you are counseling me through this. Often, we go through Bible studies, and as a child, if you're a child today and you have classes where you print these Bible stories on your minds and you think, well, what really is it benefiting? All of that is training us for some particular time in life where the Lord's counsel that He has imprinted upon us all of our days will come alive. Often, it's our tragedy to stir these things up in us to see the glories of what we have. It's in the soil of affliction and the great afflictions and trials that we face in this life that often we see the promises of the gospel all the more clearly. It is here that David has learned what it means when the tide of adversity has come so intensely. Here at this moment, he has learned what it means and what the Lord meant when he said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." And so in full delight, he says, "I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Because the Lord is in control, and because he is before me, I will not go down the wrong path. My feet will not slip through this tragedy. I will still bless him. Because he is at my right hand, he will not leave me alone through this." Isn't this just beautiful? The Lord counsels his sheep. The Lord comforts them. And what does he comfort them with? You know, at this point in the psalm, we might think it's time for the amen. But if we were to stop here, what have we really heard? Well, we've heard a general encouragement through our trial. But something is really still missing. The issue is, how am I covered? How do I know? At this point, he leaves the greatest jewel of the whole psalm. A jewel so powerful that it makes this psalm one of the most quoted in the New Testament. He sort of transcends life, and he says this happiness is in death. Verse 9, "Therefore," and that's "therefore because the Lord is before me. My heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh will rest in hope, for you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption." Let me ask you today, who is that, my friends? It's Jesus. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. He's the only hope for a struggling, weary sinner in the midst of trial. Do you know Jesus today? Have you believed and confessed him? He can give you joy through trial to know that in life and in death you belong and have a heavenly inheritance reserved for you by his wonderful, saving grace. Well, thank you for being with us today at Abounding Grace, and we give you a sincere invite, as we often do after every program, to join us this Sunday for worship. If you come by, make sure you tell one of the ushers that you were invited by the radio broadcast. That would encourage us a great deal. Our worship service times are 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. Our website is lyndonurc.com. Thanks for joining us today, and may the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ in all of its glory continue to richly bless you.